Hello and welcome to Alive Christian Ministries Sunday service. We hope this particular Sunday you will be blessed by the words that we share, the songs that we sing, and the opportunity to get together and enjoy God's presence.
Thank you.
Everybody, I've been asked to do some prayers this morning. I've got a few ideas that we should go for, recognizing that we're all in different places, but let's just come together in prayer before God. And Lord, we would just ask you for your continued support of our government, that you would give them wisdom, that you would give them unity as to know when and why and how to do things, when to release the brakes, when to apply them. And I do pray, Lord, for the opposition parties, that they will act in the best interest of the country and that they won't just object to the current government because they're opposition. And just really pray that all the parties will work together to see us through this. And Lord, thank you for keeping us well and safe. Thank you that Alive Ministries' message is able to go out in this way and that it's reaching more people than we would normally see. But as we think about Alive, Lord, we just pray for your continued direction for us too. Very much aware that Tuesday used to be a day when we came together and really focused on the future of the building and what you want for us. So Lord, we just ask at this time that we won't lose sight of that, that you will clearly speak to us, that we will hear what you are telling us, and I pray that we will have the faith to follow where you lead. And lastly, Lord, I just ask that we will
lay down our own agendas, that we will clearly follow what you are asking of us. None of us know where all this coronavirus is going to lead us, but I'm just thankful that you do, Lord. You know the end from the beginning. But please would you help us to lay our agendas down? Would you help us to focus on what you want for us? Would you give us listening ears and obedient hearts to hear what you're saying to us and the courage to carry them out? Thank you, Lord. Amen. I'm back again. It's one thing I nearly forgot. Lord, we just ask for your comfort for those who grieve. We ask for your healing for those who are unwell at this time. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Thank you. My name's Angela and I'm on the leadership team at Alive. Today's reading is taken from the book of Acts, chapter 1, verses 1 to 11. In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave them many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." Then they gathered around him and asked him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus, who has been taken from you into heaven, will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven."
The story of Jesus' ascension marks the end of the narratives relating to his earthly life. Beyond this, Jesus is in heaven. Beyond this, Jesus sits at the right hand of God, reigning over the whole earth. In many respects, the ascension story is almost like an anticlimax. We've had the dramatic events of Easter. We've had the crucifixion. We've had all the things that went on relating to Jesus' trial. And we've had the glorious resurrection, with all the excitement and all the direction that was happening after that happened. Jesus appearing to his disciples. Jesus appearing to quite large groups of people. Jesus sharing more information. Jesus guiding his disciples for 40 days after the resurrection. That continued. And then suddenly, we walk up a hill in Bethany, and Jesus is taken away. That is it. He's taken away, but with a promise. A promise that he will return. A promise that more is to come. A promise that the Holy Spirit will empower his disciples. How did the disciples feel on the mountain when Jesus was taken up? It's quite a human story in many respects. When we say goodbye to somebody, having visited them or having to visit us, when we have to depart from somebody or have to go through some kind of process of saying we're not going to see you again for a while, we do sometimes linger, don't we? We watch after the train. We watch after the departure gate at an airport, when we have airports. And we linger. We linger because I think in that time we are remembering the good times of the past, the time we spent together in fellowship with somebody, be it a visiting relative or friend, or when we have had a holiday and have to return to some sort of normality. So it was very human to hear, to read that the disciples just gazed upwards. They were thinking, he's gone. And they were almost like waiting for him to reappear. So that is very much a human thing. And they actually needed angelic direction. They actually needed someone to come and say, "Oi, why are you staring up? Because you know that he is going to return. You know that promises have been made. You know that things are going to continue." So the disciples just needed that prompt. They were still thinking perhaps in the human. They were still thinking in terms of what had happened. And perhaps just had that real sense of, "Oh, well, is that it? Why has that happened? What's going to happen next?" And you really do sense that sense of anticlimax, that sense of, well, what do we do now? And that is one of those really sort of human moments in Scripture, and possibly one of the reasons why the Ascension story doesn't have the same sort of pizzazz, doesn't have the same sort of impact as the great festivals like Christmas and Easter, because it was just a full stop. But we can look forward to Pentecost next week, when the Holy Spirit came and empowered the church. But as an event, it's quite limited. It's quite full stoppy. And I think that's a very human thing. But why was it essential that Jesus had to ascend? Why was it essential that he had to leave the confines of earth? Well, that's the answer to some extent. He was confined. When he was delivering his earthly ministry, Jesus touched the lives of hundreds and thousands of people. 5,000 people were fed. Hundreds heard his word. We hear the Sermon on the Mount. There were massive crowds listening to him. But even so, the numbers were very small. Even in that such a circumstance, he was touching the lives of a few thousand people. If Jesus hadn't been Jesus, his ministry would have gone the way of hundreds of other preachers and teachers in Israel. People who did say great things or positive things, but we just don't have to know their name. And the lives that he touched would have been impacted for a few years, but eventually that generation would pass away. It was only by returning to the Father, it was only by returning to the throne in heaven, that Jesus' ministry could expand globally. Because in the heavenly realms, Jesus can be there for us all the time. The people who he physically met on earth were, I think, massively blessed. But by returning to heaven, Jesus then opened up the gates of heaven, allowed the Holy Spirit to come, and allowed the whole world to see him. Now, there are some, particularly Mormons, who believe that when Jesus ascended, he then sort of descended. It was a bit like getting on a jet and sort of went across the Atlantic and shared strange ideas. Of course, the guy that came up with that idea wrote down everything himself, and I'm not quite sure what his motives were. But the reality is, it's made clear in Scripture that Jesus ascended to God. He did not do a diversion. He did not do on any strange alternative routes. He went straight back to the Father from whence he had come, to sit at his right hand and to rejoin the Godhead. And it was only through that that the Holy Spirit could then come to bring everything that was needed into the church. So this departure was essential. Now, the disciples then went back, and they were obedient. I think if you see Jesus for 40 days, see him disappear into heaven, and a couple of angels then tell you to go and wait, you probably won't do that. And that's what they did. They were faithful, and they waited. Waiting is one of those things which a lot of us struggle with. At this time, everyone, I think, is eagerly looking at the news, waiting for when the various restrictions we are under will come to an end. There's newspaper stories virtually every day about whether we'll be able to go out, whether we'll be able to go to pubs, restaurants and cafes. And particularly, the big thing focus at the moment, now we're in late May, is whether we're going to be able to go on holiday. These are understandable things, because it is part of what we are used to. It is part of the normality of life. And I would say that the day will come when those things will return. The day will come when we can go up to people and hug them. The day will come when we can greet our families, that we can be with our families together in grateful fellowship. An opportunity to continue to share. But the day is not today. It may be next week, it may be next month. The government, I think, is doing its best in these incredibly difficult circumstances to plot its course. And what the Ascension story says to us is that God's timing is everything. When Jesus left, he left with a promise. He left with a promise that his Holy Spirit would come. And his Holy Spirit did come, as doubtless we will learn next week. the promise was fulfilled. We live in a world where the promises of God are more important than ever. The promises that he will bless us, the promises that he will always be with us till the end of the age, the promise that he will bring healing, the promise that he will bring comfort to people who are mourning. All those many promises that he made, they are absolutely current. Everything that we go through today and everything that we're experiencing today are backed by the promises of Jesus. And we can therefore just look forward to his outworking in this situation. When the disciples saw Jesus ascending into heaven, it was like the culmination, because he'd been with them for 40 days after resurrection. Now that is incredible in itself. But they could then see that he had come from God. He was taken up into heaven. It was the ultimate confirmation of everything that he said. Doubtless they were disappointed. Doubtless they were a bit confused. Doubtless they were concerned about how things were going to work out. But the reality was that everything that Jesus had said, everything that Jesus had done, had been confirmed by the simple confirmations that happened through the resurrection and through the ascension. They could return to Jerusalem and they could look forward to the coming of the Holy Spirit. Not every gospel contains an account of the ascension, but obviously it's associated with some significant passages, particularly in Matthew's gospel, when it's also accompanied by the Great Commission. Go out into the whole world, spreading the good news and baptizing in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. It was like an invocation, say, you must go forward now, and you must tell everybody, I have been empowered through the Holy Spirit, and your responsibility now is to tell everybody else. At this time, in the Roman Empire, were probably around about 30 to 50 million people. The vast, vast majority of whom had heard nothing about Jesus. It was absolutely incredible that within 100 years of Jesus' ascension, there were churches in France, there were churches in the far reaches of Africa, there were churches in Germany, there were churches in Italy, there were churches in the whole of the empire. That is what it means to tell the whole world of what Jesus had done. And that was the empowering of the Holy Spirit that came because Jesus promised that would come, and because through his death, resurrection and ascension, he confirmed that everything that he had said and done was right and correct. So today, let's just grasp on to those firm promises. Let us look forward, because God will bring release. God will bring us into a new place. And through COVID-19 and everything that has happened in this world in 2020, we will have a different perspective. We will know that God continues to reign. We will know that God continues to bless and encourage us. We all know that he has brought and continues to bring salvation. And I pray today that we hold on to that as we gaze up and say, Jesus is on that throne. He is on that throne even today. We can grasp onto that sure and certain hope. And I pray that we all have a blessed day today. Father God, I thank you for the assurance of Jesus' ascension. I thank you for the assurance that when he went and was returned to you, you instructed the Holy Spirit to come into the world. And that Holy Spirit dwells within us even today, bringing blessing and encouragement. And I pray that if we're feeling down, if we're feeling disconnected, you will help us just to call upon the Holy Spirit to draw closer to us, to encourage us and to bless us as we go through these challenging times. And when we emerge, we can emerge more and more confident in the power of the Holy Spirit, in the power of your resurrection, and in the power of Almighty God in all our lives. Amen. I think it's great that we continue to support and bless people who are working so hard in this crisis, particularly in the health service and the caring professions. And I'm thrilled that we still go out and clap, that we still go out and encourage those people. But we as God's people should also go out in confidence, in resurrection power, using the gifts of the Holy Spirit that God has given to us, so that through that we can continue to spread this good news. Jesus commissioned us as they ascended into heaven to spread the good news, to tell the whole world about what he did. Let's do it, and let's keep doing it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Presence. There is freedom in your presence. dance before the Lamb of God and sing, you are worthy of it all. You are worthy of it all. For from you are all things, and to you are all things. You deserve the glory.
Towards the end of our service. First of all, may I apologise for the wind that was blowing during my sermon. It wasn't the wind of the Holy Spirit, but let's pray this week that the wind of the Holy Spirit really does blow through Bridgewater and touch many people's lives. Thank you very much for your listening this morning. I hope you've been blessed and encouraged. And I pray that the week ahead will be an opportunity for you to listen to God and allow God to enter into your lives. Lord Jesus, we just thank you for today. We thank you, Lord, for all that you continue to give to us, all the blessings that you continue to pour out, and we look forward to what you're going to do in the weeks ahead. In Jesus' name, Amen. Hope you all have a blessed week, and we look forward to seeing you again.